The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
The Lord be with you.
Here's
the microphone, okay. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, before I say something about the cooperative missions appeal for which I came, I would like us to meditate on the Word of God that we just listened to. Because when we gather as we are today, every Sunday, the Lord has something to tell us. He has to change something in our lives. He has to bring us to be closer to Him and to be able to work to make some improvement, some impact in our lives. And so today, the Lord grants us to meditate on the miracle. I can call it that way. The normal liturgical year is divided into the cycles of A, B, and C. In the year A, the gospel we listen to is the gospel of Matthew. In year B, Mark. And year C, Luke. But we are in year B, and today, right today, we are starting with the gospel of St. John, which is really something strange, and we are going to listen to that gospel, the chapter 6 of St. John, for the next 6 weeks. And it is called the Bread of Life. The Bread of Life, the chapter 6 of St. John. And it unfolds at the beginning with the miracle of the loaves. We must notice that this miracle already took place with the prophet Elisha in the first reading, the book of Kings. There was already a miracle there of food multiplied. Now, the miracle of the loaves and the other miracle symbolize and is the prefiguration of the miracle of the person of Jesus himself. It is easy when we listen to this to wonder at five breads and two fish that was transformed and 5,000 men could eat without counting the women and the children. And of course, if we had the challenge today in this church to count ourselves, you might discover that women and children are a greater number than the men. So if there were 5,000 men, you can understand easily that there was a crowd. There was a thick crowd at that occasion. So we cannot listen to this miracle without meditating on this wonderful providence of God, always ready to provide to our needs, always ready to know what we need, always ready to bring a solution in our lives. That is the key of this miracle. God is always there. He is always watchful. And he is always ready to act. That is what, can stand as the very first evidence of this miracle. But I would like us, dear brothers and sisters, to go a little further. If Jesus could make the miracle so easily, why go into the discussion with his apostles? What was he actually looking for? And the reading itself says that he was putting them to the test. Why testing them? Why putting them to the test? When he gets into conversation with Philip, he will tell him, where can we have food for this crowd? Very embarrassing question. And Philip tells him, what are you talking about? Are you talking about food or something else with such a crowd? How is that possible? Why do you dive into impossibility? How? And Jesus, if we had to take the whole reading with the details, Jesus will even tell them, when Philip answers that the salary of 200 wages, days of wages cannot feed the people, Jesus will tell them, give them something to eat yourself. Because they will tell Jesus to drive the people away so that they can go and look for food somewhere. He said, give them something to eat yourself. Great challenge. And finally, what do they do? Andrew will go behind, catch a young man, and there are many of them here in church. I thank God they are here. He will catch a young man, seize his bread, hold him by the neck, seize his bread and his fish, and bring to Jesus and says, we have here a young man. No, in this reading, he doesn't talk about the young man. Thank you, Deacon Chris. He says, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is it for this crowd? And they took it from a young man, from a little child. So my question, I have a question. Tell me, this young man, this little boy, was he the only wise in the crowd who could have been so prudent to keep some bread and some fish at that time in the whole of that crowd? Could he be the only person who made provision of something that he could eat eventually during that time? Could he be the only one? What do you think? So this young man had bread and fish. He had up to 5 loaves. Everyone was making bread. He had up to 5 loaves. But the truth is, everybody had bread in that crowd. Even the apostles had bread. They were keeping it so that when Jesus sends the crowd away, they are going to sit with him and eat their own share. They all had bread, but they each felt that it wasn't enough for the others. And for their security, they preserved their own shares and sacrificed a little boy. That little boy was the only person in danger in that crowd. He was the only one whose bread was taken away. And now, when Jesus takes the bread, prays and gives it out. Everybody has bread. Even those who had bags of bread still kept more in the bags, and bread was still there. And what was Jesus teaching them? Cupidity is not good. Cupidity is not good. You have bread, take bread, add to the bread you have. It makes no difference. But the sacrifice of this young man who has made all this bread makes a difference. Makes a difference. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the sacrifice of Christ that was prefigured in the multiplication of the loaves is effective only when we take the risk of making the sacrifice of ourselves. It is effective only when we take the risk of making the sacrifice of ourselves. In every sacrifice, there is a matter of sacrifice. There is no miracle without the matter of sacrifice. And the matter of sacrifice is the danger, the risk I take to give out my life for another person. I take that risk, and God transforms it into a miracle. And so in our everyday life, even people who live together in the same roof, in the same house, even people who sleep in the same bed, have to learn the meaning of charity, being charitable. You know, I once met a couple, and when I was talking to them, I asked them the question, when did you last offer a gift to each other? And they laughed, and they could not remember. It happens. And they are living daily. They are together. They are doing a lot of things together. But it doesn't dump into their mind that they can offer. I mean, that you can get into a shop and you see something nice for the other person and you just pick it and say, I will offer the person this. It might escape our minds. There are people among us who need just a smile in order to be revived. Just a smile. Just a word in order to feel that they are still alive. And if we don't take the challenge to offer, to go by the charity of our life to other people, charity means forgetting about myself for the sake of another person. If we don't go into that challenge, the miracle will never happen. God takes the little we offer and transforms it into some big thing we have never thought of. That is the miracle of today. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the challenge is not only to celebrate the providence of God, but to become part of that providence. To become part of it. To become the people who make the providence possible by offering our lives. Offering what we are, offering what we have. And that is why at every liturgy, at every celebration of the Mass, during the liturgy of the Eucharist, we have what is called offerings, offertory, offerings. That is the meaning of offertory. We offer who we are, what we have, everything we come to tell God, our life situation, we offer all that. That is the symbolism of our offerings. We call it collection. I don't like the term, but it is true that there is an aspect of collection in it. But we should never forget that it is not only collection. Never offer because for you it is collection. Offer first because it is your life that you are offering. And when we put it together, that is when it becomes a collection. And the priest collects it and presents it to God. And since the priest cannot take the intention of each individual separately, he puts it together, as St. Paul said in the second reading of today's Mass. We are united as one people of God. There is one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. We are all united. And what unites us is Christ. And the symbolism of bread is all the grains of wheat put together, mashed and put together, that forms the bread we use to celebrate Mass, which is the prayer of all of us gathered together. The wine is the same. All the grapes pressed together, all the grapes, all of us, pressed together and presented to God as a community. And what does God do? He takes hold of it. He becomes part of us. He becomes one with us in the mystery of the transformation of himself, of that into himself. And then he comes back to us in communion and offers himself to each of us and tells us, you are no longer alone. Your situation, your life, your work, everything you do in your life, you are no longer alone. I am with you. Communion. I am one with you. And that is why we can say, it is no longer I that live, it is Christ that lives in me. And it makes us one people, one community, brothers and sisters in Christ. That is the mystery of the celebration of the Mass, of the Eucharist. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, when we walk out of this church, we should feel that we are people who are transformed, and that every effort we brought to Christ has transformed us into one people, into one family. That's the message of today's liturgy. Now, permit me to say something about the cooperative missions appeal. My name is Robert Kenfak. I am originally from Cameroon. Cameroon is a neighboring country to Nigeria at the west coast of Africa, nearer to the United States, of course, the west coast of Africa. Yeah, and I was ordained in 1998, 26 years ago. And 6 years ago, I wanted to make a missionary experience in an Anglo-Saxon area because I'm originally a Francophone. So I wanted to go in an Anglo-Saxon area, and it was suggested that I come to the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, and I went there. So I live in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I've been living there for the past 6 years as a priest, as a missionary priest. I work with the diocese, and presently I work at the chancery, and I also am also the pastor of a church. I am the director of Catholic education. I take care of the child protection program, yeah, and the abuses and all the like. I take care of that, and that is some of the things that I do in the diocese. I was sent by the bishop here to come and talk to you about the reality of St. Thomas and our diocese. And I would like to express immense thanks to the bishop, Bishop Doherty, and to the priests of this parish, Father Thomas, Father Jordan, and the young seminarian, Sam Bert, who communicated with us. Thank you, Chris, for giving me the honor to have you at this Mass. So I would like to be thankful to all of you for welcoming me here. I feel at home. Thank you for your hospitality. And thank you for this celebration we have together. The Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, is made up of three islands: St. Croix, St. Thomas, and St. John. Exotic beaches, beautiful resorts, what you can ever think of by the sea of the Caribbean. It is beautiful there. No winter. Sunny throughout the year. Just the best you can enjoy in the place. And you are always welcome. When you get over there, look for Father Robert. I will take care of you. That's the Virgin Islands. So nice. Mountains with little roads. We drive on the left and not on the right. Oh, yeah. Very many particularities with beautiful food, seafood, all kind of seafood you can imagine, with the rum, the Crucian rum. Yes, all you can imagine. That is the Virgin Islands. You can come by plane. You can come by ship, by cruise ships. All are available. It is a place to visit. And it is nice to visit the Virgin Islands. It is beautiful for tourists, But it might not be that beautiful for those who live permanently there. The reality is something else. And the redoubtable enemy of the Virgin Islands is the hurricanes. Hurricanes. If you look at the map of the world, or even of the United States, and you go into the Atlantic Ocean, you will not see the Virgin Islands. You need to open the map and begin to see a dot, something, Virgin Islands, and you don't see anything. You see just the name, because it is a very small area in the heart of the Atlantic Ocean. And when there is hurricane, it is devastating. Everything is destroyed. Everything, from churches to houses, and some people even die, unfortunately. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, life is hard there. Very hard. And people really struggle to live there. The church has a mission. The mission to bring faith and hope to those people. It is the mission of the church to tell them that all is not lost. All is not wasted. And the church makes a lot of effort to do that. With the soup kitchens we have in our three islands, by Catholic Charity, we struggle every day to give food to at least 500 people every day. They line up every day to have something to eat, and they rely on that every day. And Catholic Charity goes around looking for people who are abandoned, people who are homeless, and take care of them. We have some few shelters to do that. We try to help. And we have schools. We have Catholic schools. But the people are so poor that they cannot pay the little tuition that is expected of them. So the only thing the church can do is to go look for those who can support and help so that we can keep the schools going and pay the meager resources we can provide for the teachers. That is the reality. And we keep our schools because we know, and I pray that there are many of you here who have gone to Catholic schools. We know that we own schools, the church has schools, and I think there is a school here, right? We have a school here, right? The church has schools not because others don't have, but because we want integral formation. We want the best formation possible, not only academics, but in all aspects of life. We want the gospel message to pass through education in order to build up our children, our young ones, to be able to stand tomorrow as models. That is the aim of the church. But they don't have the means to maintain the school. And we have to try to see how we can get something to help in that regard. Young people are also exposed. Because in the Virgin Islands, when you see someone smoke, never think that it's an ordinary something he's smoking. It is the Caribbeans. When people smoke there, the saint is never the same. They smoke some things that some herbs that they tie into papers. And all young people are exposed to that. So the church has that vocation to rescue young people from that. So when we succeed to bring up our children and to bring those we can to be members of the church, to serve in the church, to be committed as we have these young people here, when they come and they dedicate themselves, we have to help them. In compensation, the church offers them scholarship, offers them tuition in schools, and so on. That is how we struggle to help people rebuild faith, rebuild hope in themselves. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I stand here in the name of that diocese to count on your support, on your generosity, to keep us going, to help us maintain the flame of faith burning. I know you can help. The church is one. We know that we are brothers and sisters. You are here, we are there, but you can be an extended hand that make us survive and keep going. Thank you so much for your generosity, and may God bless you. May God transform everything you are going to make for the sake of the Virgin Islands into miracles, into your life, into your generation, into all of us as the church. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.